Hey, let's go up with Coil. For all you Coil people. Good night. Good luck. Be well and all that jazz, and I'll see you around.
June 8th. The planet Mars is a cold desert world, rocky and red. Today, it's especially cold in the southern hemisphere of Mars. It'll soon be winter there, and it'll be an especially cold winter. The reason has to do with an event taking place today, Mars aphelion, or farthest point from the sun. Like Earth, Mars tilts on its axis. This tilt, not its distance to the sun, causes the change in the Martian seasons. Earth's orbit around the sun is nearly circular. The orbit of Mars is more elliptical, more like a circle that's been squashed. Changes in the distance between Mars and the sun are great enough to affect the temperature on the red planet. Mars is always farthest from the sun around winter time in the planet's southern hemisphere, so the southern winter is always colder than it would otherwise be. In the Martian southern hemisphere today, temperatures probably are plunging to around 200 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. Meanwhile, the northern hemisphere of Mars is having pleasantly cool summer days and moderately cold nights. An Earth year from now, half a year later on Mars, the red planet will be closest to the sun. Then it'll be warm enough in the Martian southern hemisphere to shrink the southern polar ice cap. Meanwhile, once again, the northern hemisphere will be having milder weather. Throughout the Martian year, the changing distance between Mars and the sun amplifies the change in the seasons so that the southern hemisphere freezes and bakes, while the Martian northern hemisphere experiences only mild changes. For June the 8th, that's star date. For the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas, I'm Joel Block.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
New York telephone. One moment, please. At the tone, please say your name. The response was too long. At the tone, please state just your name. Please wait to see if the charges for this call will be accepted. Please answer the following question, yes or no. Will you pay for the call? You have a collect call from... Please answer the following question, yes or no. Will you pay for the call? Your response could not be understood. If you want to refuse the charges, hang up now. For operator assistance, the charges for this call have not been accepted. Please hang up now.
And it's 11 minutes after 10 o'clock, and brain damage has hit us again, yet again, for another round of fun here on Saturday night. Very good evening to one and all. How has your week been? My week has been just dandy and fine and all that kind of thing. We've got a fun show planned for you tonight. We've got the second half of the Screaming Target record that we were going crazy about last week, the members of Big Audio Dynamite, minus Mick Jones, and we've got Moscow Mailbag, we've got the tripods, we've got your phone calls, and all kinds of commentary on things that are happening here, abroad, and here again. So stay right where you are here at WUSB in Stony Brook, because... Hey, hey, yo! Get out of here! What the hell's going on here? Hey! This marching band comes in here. Out! Out! Damn spot. What is this? Who are you? What do you want? Oh, no, no, no. None of that stuff here. Get out of here. I'm sick of this patriotism everywhere you look. Out. Out. Not working. Well, there's no reason to subject the listeners to this. Oh, that's ugly. think we got the point across. You can turn it off now. No, it sucked it right up. Come on, come on. Oh, man. Ooh. Who's going to clean that off? Come on, we didn't have to do that for a job. Oh. That is ridiculous. We didn't have to do it for that long. I mean, I'm sure only 10 seconds would have gotten rid of it. Oh. Well, that's what you gotta do these days, I guess. I don't know. There's so much of this patriotism streaming down amongst us, like so much confetti. You need to do something, but I don't know if the old garbage disposal is the answer. That's the first time I've seen the USB garbage disposal fired up in quite a while. Maybe now it will work a little bit more reliably. Anyway, sorry to subject everybody to that. I guess it was bound to happen at some point. We've got a fun show planned for you tonight. As I said, Moscow Mailbag is up next, and we're going to be listening to that, as well as all kinds of other things. We'll be taking phone calls and who knows what else. All kinds of fun things in the work. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516, and we'll be talking about, you know, current events, what's happening in Washington, D.C. today, what's happening in New York City Monday, and what's happening in Huntington tomorrow. If you don't know that, stay tuned. So we've got all kinds of things. Oh, my God. Cut to Moscow Mailbag. We're going to have to call somebody in for this. Folks, we'll be back.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And here's Joe Adamoff again to answer your questions. Ready, Joe? Mr. and Mrs. Davis of Cincinnati, Ohio, have sent in the following questions. How do prices in the Soviet Union compare with those of the United States?
When comparing prices, you must take into consideration pay, taxes, the cost of housing, and insurance, and then see what you can buy on the money that's left. On this basis, I will compare prices in the United States and in the Soviet Union for the average industrial worker. Now, we pay almost 6 times more than you do for beef. We pay 4 times more for milk, 16 times more for a broiler, 3 times more for potatoes, 10 times more for butter, 13 times more for oranges, 13 times more for coffee, and we pay 14 times more for sugar than you do. Now, I got this information from the Soviet Institute of World Economy and International Relations. Now, some economists in the United States like to compare how many minutes or hours a worker has to work to buy a certain product. If you use that method, the result will be just the same.
What's the highest paid profession in the Soviet Union?
You know, not so long ago, the highest paid people were considered such people as songwriters, playwrights. Today, I think among the highest paid people are certain members of the new cooperative organizations and joint enterprises. Yes, we do have some millionaires, and even dollar millionaires. An Australian magazine named among our dollar millionaires painter Glazunov, a specialist in microsurgery of the eye Fyodorov, pop singer Alla Pugacheva, playwright Shatrov, and many others.
How old are some of your Russian Orthodox churches?
Well, the Cathedral of the Assumption in the Kremlin is over 500 years old. But it has an icon inside, an icon of St. George, which dates back to the 12th century. Incidentally, the Cathedral of the Assumption was built by Aristotle Fioravante, a native of Italy. The Palace of Facets, also in the Kremlin, was built around the same time by Marco Rufo and Pietro Antonio Solari. Incidentally, I suppose Mr. Reagan must have seen our cathedrals in the Kremlin when he visited the Soviet Union. There are some beautiful frescoes there on ecclesiastic and biblical themes. Though the Armenian Church is not a Russian Orthodox Church, it is nevertheless a Christian church, and in Yerevan, the capital, you'll find temples and a basilica of the 7th century. And incidentally, Echmiadzin, the seat of the head of the Armenian Church, was erected in the year 303, which makes it almost 1,700 years old.
Does the Soviet Union have a program to search for extraterrestrial intelligence?
We do have a working group on extraterrestrial civilizations under the USSR Academy of Sciences. Our scientists believe that earthly intelligence is not unique, and I personally was intrigued by the fact that signals, if they exist, would take millions of years to reach us. Now, what would a civilization want to transmit over such a long period of time, during which it itself would have changed beyond recognition? Today we cannot answer that question. Now, what might we expect from a message from outer space? Maybe the transmission of invaluable knowledge that would enable us to achieve great scientific and technological breakthroughs. Maybe the solution to problems of happiness. Who knows? Whatever it'll be, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence is a very compelling occupation. So let's hope one day we contact someone out there.
Are there any vegetarians in the Soviet Union?
Yes, we do have some, but they're not numerous. And I suppose I'll tell you this. Modern thought, as far as diet is concerned, recommends a mixed diet of vegetable and animal products. Lack of animal products has a bad effect on the central nervous system, the function of the glands of inner secretion, and the functioning of the liver. Animal products are a source of the more valuable and active forms of vitamin A and vitamin E. Vegetable food is a source of very important minerals. Therefore, a mixed diet is best. But I will say this, a vegetarian diet is prescribed for a certain amount of time during some illnesses, such as during, say, ailments of the kidneys, during some ailments of the heart and blood vessels, and also if a person suffers from high blood pressure.
Changing the subject, what role did your women play during the Second World War?
Quite a big role. About 600,000 served in the army. 86 merited the highest title of hero, Hero of the Soviet Union. Thousands fought with the guerrillas. We had women doctors, women nurses. Incidentally, some of them merited the Florence Nightingale Medal. We had radio and telephone operators. They served in the anti-aircraft forces. One woman guerrilla placed a mine under the bed of the Gauleiter of Belarusia, and she's living to this day. There were women's bomber regiments, women's fighter regiments. I'll tell you this story. A Nazi fighter, a fighter ace, may I say, who had 3 Iron Crosses and was taken prisoner on the approaches to Stalingrad, was insulted when he was told that he'd been shot down by a frail 20-year-old woman. He didn't believe it until he actually saw this young girl and listened to a detailed account of their dogfight. Incidentally, King George VI awarded 2 women fighter pilots, Soviet women fighter pilots, for exceptional bravery. And I don't have to go far for an example. Here at Radio Moscow, we have a woman that served as a sniper. She's still working. We had, I say had because they have retired, a woman who unfortunately lost a leg serving as a frontline nurse, a woman who served in the Air Force and was awarded the Order of the Red Banner. And here, in our English language service, up until recently, we had a lady who served in a searchlight battalion.
Do you have anything equivalent to a Sears catalogue?
Do we? We had an organization called Posil Torg that used to send goods by post. But nowadays, with a complete absence of everything, I don't see any use for a Sears-type catalogue. Let's wait for better times.
How is housing financed?
Well, the bulk of the city housing, about 70% of it, is government-financed. Some small one-family homes that are privately owned are privately financed. But you'll find them mostly in small communities and villages. They constitute about 5% of the housing being built today. About 10% of the homes are condominiums. I live in one. To build a private home or a condominium, you get a government credit at 0.5% interest, which is very, very profitable. Today, the tendency is to sell all state-owned housing to the tenants. You see, after buying the apartment, it becomes your private property, and you do with it what you like. You can sell it, you can bequeath it, or anything else. There was an article the other day in the Izvestia saying that most people get their housing free. That is a fact. The government paid for it. And that is one of the reasons that your wages were so low, wrote Izvestia. If the government pays for your housing, it pays you that much less.
Mr. and Mrs. Davis want to know the difference in productivity between the Soviet Union and that of the United States. Mr. and Mrs. Davis also want to know what the agricultural productivity of the Soviet Union is compared to that of the United States.
Well, if you take the cost expressed in dollars of what one farmer produces, you will see that our agricultural worker or farmer produces 1/11 of what your farmer produces.
How popular is the game of chess here in the USSR?
Very popular. There are about 4.5 million chess players that are members of various clubs, sections, or what have you. But of course there are legions more who don't belong to any club or organization. We have about 100 grandmasters. Then, of course, at the last world championship, you remember both the champion and the pretender were Soviet players, Kasparov and Karpov. And the world women's chess champion has been a Soviet woman for years. Some consider chess our national game. Maybe they're right. But down in Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan, they prefer to play backgammon. Not in Russia proper, though.
Do you have rodeos in the Soviet Union?
Ride 'em cowboy, eh? Mm-hmm. No. But there is something very similar, or something resembling it, in Turkmenia, a republic east of the Caspian Sea. A man holds a horse on a rope, and while it bucks and kicks for all it's worth, another man tries to mount it. So there is a similarity. But you should see the horses down in Turkmenia, the most beautiful animals you'd ever seen. The Ahal Tekin breed from Turkmenia. They often fetch very handsome prices at international auctions. Incidentally, we have quite a number of equestrian sports in the republics. In the Caucasus, you'll see competitions for stunt riding. And if you've ever been to our circus, you should know that our republics have some of the best horsemen in the world. The Georgians and the Armenians have a team game in which riders traveling at full speed throw spears and darts into targets. Some republics have games very similar to polo.
Well, Joe, I hate to do it, but that moment has arrived once again. Yes, Joe Adamoff presents the wrap-up joke.
It will not be political today. It'll concern you, Mark.
Oh, dear.
A mouse, seeing a cat, dived into a hole in the floor. The cat waited patiently for the mouse to emerge. After a while, the cat began barking like a dog. The mouse, hearing a dog bark, decided there'd be no cat around for miles and crawled out of its hiding place. The cat sprang on it and caught it. Now, the moral of the story is this. It is very important these days to know at least one foreign language.
Sure, Adamov, there. Answering your letters and maybe criticizing my knowledge of Russian, which is not so bad, on Moscow Mailbag. And don't forget, address your letters to the North American Service, Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments are also welcome on this show. Mailbags on the air every Saturday, Sunday and Wednesday to the East Coast at 2310 and 0210 UTC and to the West Coast at 0410 and 0610 UTC.
Yes, I wish the Moscow Mailbag thing could go on forever, but as you just heard, the Star Spangled Banner has not stopped playing here for the whole time. We've been going kind of crazy trying to stop it, and it's been hard. Right now, it's just it's reached one of the points. It's like a 1.5 minute gap between each time she comes in here and sings it. The garbage disposal had no effect whatsoever, and we're appealing to help from our faithful listeners, and in fact, some of our non-faithful listeners, too. We'll take you back now. We don't care. We're desperate. We've got some heavy equipment lined up to try and take care of it, but your garbage disposal is not going to do any good whatsoever. 632-6901 is the number to complain to and to give suggestions of help and that kind of thing. Also, if you want to send something to Moscow Mailbag, please do so. Send it to Moscow Mailbag, care of Radio Moscow, USSR, or you can send it right to us here at Brain Damage, WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. It's just about 10:30, and we're right in the middle of all kinds of neat things here. We're going to be bringing you the news a little bit later on, and we'll be having an exciting Ryan Stan cliffhanger episode of the Tripods later on. And right now, though, we've got the second half of the Screaming Target record. Yeah, right. The Screaming Target is the band that we played the first half of the record last week. They are comprised of all the members of Big Audio Dynamite except for Mick Jones, who went on to deal with Big Audio Dynamite 2. And that band actually put out a record. We heard that a few weeks ago. In fact, I understand that another record is coming out in only a couple of weeks, from what I understand. Oh, not again. Come on. Oh, boy. So I don't mean to sound like I'm panicking here, and it's not that it's not a beautiful song, because it really isn't anyway, but it's just that I'm trying to do a show here, you know, and I don't need all of this going on. Honestly, we don't know where this is coming from. We can't do anything about it. No, that's not going to work. That didn't work last time. It's not going to work this time. Try firing up. Yeah. That's going to take a while, though. All right. Slow and steady wins the race. That's what Piglet or somebody said. If people can bear with me here while I try to tell you what's going on over this, it's really nothing we can do about it right now. We'll cut to the music, but first I want to tell you what we're going to be hearing. A little higher. Yeah, okay. That's good. I got on me, you know. Yeah, well, maybe don't try that next time. Thank you. I don't mean to criticize you. All right. Sorry, that sounds so disorganized. It's because all this is happening. I wasn't prepared for it. Okay, she's finishing up. No, I didn't say you finish up. I said, oh, never mind. We have the second half of the record here. Yeah, just bring it in. And the second half of the record is found on side 2 of the album. The album is called Hometown Hi-Fi by the band Screaming Target, who consists of... Okay, we got another minute before it starts again. Might as well just turn it off. Okay. The band's consist of Don Letts on lyrics and vocals, Greg Roberts, rhythm sampling and machinery, Leo Williams, Bassmaster General, keys and vocals, Shazair, vocals and footwork. And she's got a great voice. I said that last week. I'll say it again this week. She really does. Also appearing are VAD member Dan Donovan on keyboards, as well as John Roberts and Tim Brand, guitars, Steve Roberts, and backing vocals, Mary Cridell. Also, we'll be hearing Chrissy Hind doing vocals on a song called This Town, and Pete Wiley doing vocals on a song called Bedazzled. Songs we are going to hear, Runaways and Redskins, which is kind of a song about Native Americans, from what I understand. Babies on Board, Blood and Stars, song I like a lot. Read you the refrain of that one. Black and White and Silent, The Nation Went to War. Black and White and Violent, A Lot to Answer For. Good stuff here. After Blood and Stars, we'll hear Legs for Days, then This Town, which features Shazair vocalizing there, and I think it's a really good song. Bedazzled and Outro. And remember, this record is not to be found anywhere in this country. In fact, Island Records has said that they will not release this record in this country. We don't know why this is, but they have said that they do not intend to release this record this year, and I think that's really a bad move on their part because, you can't hold a record for a year, you know. You can't hold a record and then release it. I mean, it might work for Buddy Holly, but it doesn't work for these guys. So what we need to... Okay, just start it in right at the beginning there. Probably better. The machinery. Where's the machinery? Oh, boy. Folks, we need some of, like, big, strong people to come down here and try to do something about this, because we're not prepared for this. We want to get to the record, all right? Because there's no reason to put people through this. But before that, I was mentioning Island Records, and we want people to call Island Records and put the pressure on them. At least I want people to do this. This is not, like, you know, an organized effort on the part of us, but it's my personal vendetta here. So if you want, please call Island Records in the city and tell them this record should be released. Or else something like this could happen to them. I mean, they're in New York City. Who knows what's going to happen to them? So what I'm doing here, I'm calling the telephone. I mean, I'm calling the operator on the telephone to get the number for Island Records. So get your pens and pencils ready.
New York Telephone, Livonia.
Hello, yes, we need the number for Island Records, which is located in Manhattan.
Moment.
Thank you.
The number is area code 212-477-8000.
Okay.
Area code 212-477-8000. If you need further assistance...
Or you just need to get this damn Star-Spangled Banner out of here. That's the number, folks. Call it. Let's hear the record now. And there we have it, the new album by Screaming Target, straight out of London. And the album is called Hometown Hi-Fi. And lots of people have been listening to that. Lots of people have been feeling very good about that record coming out. Very bad about it not coming out in this country. And they've been calling up. And in fact, someone just called in with a new phone number. A friend... It's gone? It's really gone? I can't believe it. I'm getting the thumbs up signal from across the room. Okay, no more Star Spangled Banner tonight, folks. From what I understand, I believe we're okay. All right. In case you're just tuning in, we had some kind of technical problem before where the Star Spangled Banner just would not stop playing, and we didn't know why, where it was coming from. But we just blenderized something, and I don't know the technicalities of it, but our technical staff over there is doing their best. And, you know, you guys are the true heroes of this radio station. I just wanted to say that. Anyway, we've got a new phone number for Island Records for you to call and request politely but firmly that the Screaming Target record come out this year, because they have no plans of releasing it this year. And, I mean, if that happens, there's no way you can hear the sounds that you just heard now on your home stereo system or in your car or anywhere. It has been decided that that kind of music will not work here. Well, I think they might have just made a mistake. So let's give a call to that number Monday morning. Number is 212-995-7874. And I understand that will put you directly in touch with the people who make these decisions. And from what I understand, the phone calls have been having an effect. That is what I've been told by a couple of people, because they have been sort of hedging on the issue. So a few more people call in, it could make all the difference in the world. Maybe next week we'll have some good news. 212-995-7874 if you want to hear Screaming Target on American vinyl, the best vinyl in the world. Anyway, it's 5 minutes after 11 o'clock, and just about time for the Tripod family to be stepping in your way and resuming the action that they've grown so accustomed to living, I guess. Which, you know, is kind of the thing that, I don't even know what I'm saying. Okay, my phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. I'm just so relieved to have that noise out of here. We're going to go into the Tripods. First, we have a public service announcement. Oh, the public service announcement is not ready yet. Okay, so I guess I have to babble for another minute, or I can do this. I can find the other public service announcement. There it is. Bear with us here, folks, non-commercial radio, you know, it's that kind of thing just sometimes happens. We're going to be taking your phone calls at 632-6901, area code 516. We want to know what you think of the parade on Monday, and the parade tomorrow, and the parade today. Yes, all kinds of parades going on, and it's the kind of thing that we're going to be talking about quite a bit in the days, and No! Oh, come on! This is not right. This is my radio show. This should not be happening. Who is this dame? What's she doing here? Get her out of here, please. What's the number for public safety? Come on. Give me the police. Somebody. I don't know. All right. This is an appeal to anybody that has knowledge about these things to please don't call. Just show up and, you know, bring whatever you have to bring to deal with the situation. You think that'll work? You really think that'll work? Okay, we're going to try something here. Tripod's coming up. Your phone calls after that, 632-6901. That's not going to work. It's not doing anything. Okay, we have absolutely nothing we can do right now, I understand. All of our machines have been disabled. And until they've been re-enabled... Well, she's... Okay, she's entering into one of those loop things. I have to apologize for this, folks, because I know this is not what you tune in to listen to, and I wish there was something I could do about it, but it's just the kind of thing that happens around this time of our nation's history, I suppose. 632-6901, give us a phone call. Maybe we'll just go into the tripods. Oh, it's ready now. It's ready now. Oh, great. It's kind of late, don't you think?
Volunteers needed to travel with Refuse and Resist on the Lollapalooza tour this summer, July 16th through August 26th. Refuse and Resist, a national organization opposing the whole right-wing agenda, will be traveling on the Lollapalooza tour this summer, spreading the word about Refuse and Resist and helping build the movement across the country by getting out R&R literature, selling T-shirts, and setting up R&R chapters. Refuse and Resist has been invited on the Lollapalooza tour by Jane's Addiction, who is headlining the tour, which will also feature Living Color, Susie and the Banshees, Ice-T, Butthole Surfers, and Nine Inch Nails. The tour will hit over 20 stadiums. Travel and housing arrangements for volunteers are being worked out now. Come brainstorm with us. Do something historic with your summer. Spread the movement of resistance to the whole new world order throughout the land. Call Refuse and Resist at 212-732-5237. The New World Order has a Third Reich odor.
Radio Free Long Island, in oscillation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. As we left our friends last week, Charlie and Pop were getting ready to start a new bread baking business. And as we look in on the Tripod household today, Charlie is making his way over.
Oh, come on in, Charlie. I was just getting the oven warmed up.
Thanks, Mr. Tripod. I hope you're in a bread baking mood.
Oh, yes. It's been such a long time since I've done it. It makes me kind of nostalgic just thinking about all those rising loaves.
Well, I was up till about 2:30 in the morning thinking about how this bread-baking business of ours is going to operate. First of all, what are we going to call it?
Well, I took that into consideration for quite some time myself, Charlie, and I decided that since we're running a business that bakes bread and delivers it to people's houses, we should have a name that reflects that.
I agree. So what did you come up with?
The Long Island Bread Baking and Home Delivery Service.
Oh. Well, that's okay, I guess.
What's the matter? You don't like it?
Well, it is kind of a mouthful, Mr. Tripod. Didn't you think of anything a little bit shorter?
Yes, I did, actually.
Well, what was it?
Bread.
Just bread?
Well, it's short and to the point.
Well, that's true, but it's... Well, we can come back to the name a little later on. Let's talk about what we're actually going to do, though.
We're going to make bread!
Well, it's not quite that simple, Mr. Tripod. I mean, first of all, we need customers. And the only way to get them is to let them know we exist somehow.
Well, how do we do that?
We have to take out a newspaper ad or do a commercial or something along those lines.
That's a great idea. Let's do it.
Well, which do you want to do, Mr. Tripod?
All of them.
But we can't do all of that. At least not yet.
Why the devil not?
Because it costs money, Mr. Tripod. Lots of money. More than either of us have, I'm sure.
You just found $50,000 worth of diamonds in that statue Kathy broke.
Well, that's true, but you're forgetting how quickly all that money got spent. And don't forget, I bought that Bulgarian step van, so I've made an investment in our corporation already.
Are you hinting that I should put some of my money into this business too, Charlie?
Well, you don't have to invest all that much, Mr. Tripod. But since we are going into this bread-baking business together, we should share equally, both the profits and the losses.
Wait just one doggone minute! You never said anything about losses. I'm doing this so I could make a lot of money and buy a sports car or something. I'm not planning on losing anything.
Well, neither am I, Mr. Tripod, but everybody knows that in order to make a lot of money, you have to first spend a little.
Oh, I don't know, Charlie.
Trust me, I've done this kind of thing many times before.
Yeah, all right. Let's say we do invest a little money. What are we going to spend it on?
Well, at this point, I'd say the only thing we could really afford is a low-budget radio commercial.
A radio commercial?
Yes, but we'd have to make it ourselves.
We could do that.
Well, it's not as easy as it sounds, Mr. Tripod.
Well, I know I could do it anyway.
Well, it takes some practice, you know.
I've been on the radio before, you know.
You have?
Yeah. They asked me what I thought of President Eisenhower, and I told them...
Well, that's good that you've had some experience. I guess we should contact one of the big radio stations and make an appointment. Where's your phone book?
Right over there on that shelf. Oh, I can see it now. A radio commercial. Millions of people.
I'll get that, Mr. Tripod.
I wonder who on Tarnation Net could be.
Yes? What can I do? Oh, my gosh.
Surely. What is it?
And so, as
as Charlie and Pop are discussing their prospects for their brand new business, a mysterious stranger knocks on the tripod door and shoots Charlie. You'll want to be with us next time. We may find out who that mysterious person is. That's next time on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Do you ever wonder about the vast variety of musical rhythms that stretch throughout the continent of Africa? If so, tune in every Thursday evening between 7 and 8:30 for the African Beat. My name's Chris, and you are invited to join me every Thursday evening to explore the traditional and popular rhythms of the African continent that have so widely influenced today's music. So keep it tuned here at 90.1 FM for non-commercial alternative radio at its best. Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB, in Stony Brook.
Yes, do tune in to the African Beat every Thursday night here on WUSB. Well, boy, that certainly was a cliffhanger ending of the tripods there. That's, wow, I wasn't expecting anything quite along those lines. But this goes to show you, you know, in this day and age, anything is possible. And anything certainly is possible around here. Okay, it is 14 minutes after 11 o'clock, and the program is Brain Damage. We're on until midnight. And first thing we're going to do right now, let's take a look at the news. We are going to take phone calls. If you want to get in on the switchboard now, as some people already have done, 632-6901, we will get to your phone calls. We're going to be talking about parades and things like that. And there are plenty of parades going on. There was one going on today in Washington, D.C., to the strains of the 1812 Overture and Star Spangled Banner. 14,000 pounds of fireworks have erupted in the skies over Washington, D.C., the biggest fireworks display ever seen in the Capitol, has capped a day-long Gulf War victory celebration. Could have had the victory celebration without having the war, right? That would have been more fun. Fireworks were shot off from three locations in the Capitol following a USO show and picnic near the White House, all in honor of the Gulf War troops. And, of course, President Bush was among the estimated 200,000 people greeting the 8,000 troops marching in the parade. General Norman Schwarzkopf, the Operation Desert Storm commander, led his troops and an array of military hardware along the parade route. Bush declared it a great day. A great day, in case you didn't hear it the first time. President Bush is also remembering the nearly 400 American troops who died during the conflict. You know, more than half of them died in accidents before the conflict even began, but I guess that's not quite as glorious. At an Arlington National Cemetery ceremony, Bush called those who went to war America's most precious asset. Apparently, individual thinkers don't mean much. He says they restored freedom to Kuwait. I'll read that again. He says they restored freedom to Kuwait. How do you restore something that is not even in the dictionary over there? That's what I want to know. Okay, I'll give the Associated Press some credit here. Some might disagree with Bush's assessment of the situation in Kuwait. It's always nice to be acknowledged, you know? It's like when you're driving down the road and a car is coming out into the intersection, and the only thing that makes him stop is the fact that you're barreling down the highway at 65, 70 miles an hour. And he sees you, and he stops short and says, okay, I'm not going to go now. And it sort of makes you feel good because you know that you exist and that other people see you and know you're there. You know? That's how I feel right now.
Yes, some might disagree with Bush's assessment of the situation in Kuwait. A martial law court today sentenced an alleged Iraqi collaborator to death. The former Kuwaiti military man never had a chance to consult with his court-appointed lawyer. The defendant's lawyer argued that his client enlisted in the paramilitary force out of fear. God knows what's going on over there. But we don't care anymore, do we? All right, we'll get back to this in a moment. Let's find out what's happening in the rest of the jolly old world here. Kurt Waldheim is a name from the past. Reportedly, will make another effort to win freedom for Americans held hostage in the Middle East. I guess purgatory has a nasty ring to it. An Austrian newspaper, Der Standard, says the Austrian president will push for the release of Westerners held in Lebanon when he visits Iran next week. While U.N. Secretary General Waldheim went to Tehran in 1980, an unsuccessful effort to win release of the 52 American hostages held in the embassy there. Oh, I'm sorry. There was a comma there I didn't see. While U.N. Secretary General, comma, Waldheim went to Tehran. Okay. I was about to say that sentence never ended. Okay. Federal officials reportedly are looking into possible new safety questions at the Seabrook nuclear plant in New Hampshire. The Boston Globe reports regulators are questioning whether at least 9 x-rays or safety welds were adequate to support documents used to license the plant, whose opponents want the facility closed. A plant spokesman, who lives 750 miles away, says the plant is safe. NASA, yeah, they got the thing up, okay? I said last week they wouldn't do it, but they did it. But now they might not get it down. NASA officials are hopeful the crew aboard the shuttle Columbia won't have to interrupt their work for an unplanned spacewalk. Engineers on the ground now think loose weather stripping won't prevent the cargo bay doors from closing securely for landing or causing a spectacular explosion on the way down. If they don't, the 9-day trip will have to be extended a day so 2 astronauts can venture outside the orbiter to fix the weather stripping. The shuttle is due to return June 14th of this year. Workers are trying to recover at least 84,000 gallons of crude oil from a rain-swollen Texas river. Officials say the crude gushed from a pipeline and apparently was washed out by heavy rain. One official says it could take weeks to clean up the Brazos River. North Korea reportedly is ready to allow international inspection of its nuclear facilities. North Korea, huh? I guess Seabrook can learn a thing or two from them. South Korean officials say the North Koreans notified the International Atomic Energy Agency of its decision yesterday. North Korea has signed a nuclear non-proliferation treaty, but until now has refused to sign a mandatory inspection accord. Japan's Mount Unzen volcano has resumed belching dark gray plumes of smoke and ash in a massive eruption. Oh. Hope there are no children listening to this. No injuries are reported, but officials say about 60 homes have been burned. At least 37 people were killed less than a week ago when the mountain returned to life. Checking. USB Long Island weather, currently 21 degrees Celsius at 70 on the Fahrenheit scale. It's going to be mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s, lower 60s. Sunday mostly sunny and pleasant. Highs in the mid to upper 70s. And Sunday night clear, lows in the mid to upper 50s. Monday, sunny and warmer, highs in the lower 80s inland and the mid 70s near the shore. Well, we've got a parade coming up. Now, we've got a couple of parades coming up. Let me tell you about the one coming up tomorrow first. And I'll do that by way of the editorial in today's Newsday. If I can just find the right page here. This is something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And something that we talked about a couple of months before that. And it's finally going to happen, and I'm just curious as to what the upshot of it is going to be. It's called A Second Chance. That's what the editorial is called, and not what the parade is called. Denizens of New York's metro area have seen everything, right? They're worldly wise, unflappable, full of savoir faire. Yet, last St. Patrick's Day, Some New Yorkers were so shocked at the sight of gays and lesbians marching down Fifth Avenue that they threw cans of beer at the marchers, almost clobbering Mayor David Dinkins. So much for sophistication. Tomorrow, local gay groups will try again, this time on Long Island. What is planned as the first annual Pride Parade will begin at 1 p.m. in downtown Huntington. Getting permission to exercise their First Amendment right to express themselves by marching was not easy. Several island communities, including Port Jefferson, right next door to us, Port Jefferson, said no. And Huntington finally issued a parade permit only after organizers went to court. Accordingly, metro area residents will get another chance to show their true sophistication. We hope they'll get it right this time. And good editorial in Newsday there. I sure hope people show up and support free speech, you know, and stand up against ignorance and stupidity and pig-headedness. All the idiots that stand on the sidelines and make people very uncomfortable. We've seen it in Bensonhurst. Let's see what happens in Huntington. I'd sure like to know. So, that's one parade. And that's a positive parade. That's people marching because they're happy about who they are and what they're all about. There's another parade on Monday. That parade is taking place in New York City. And that will be a parade, a victory parade is what it's being called, which is all fine and dandy, you know, in my opinion. I'm real happy that everybody is back and everybody is safe. And if I knew somebody that was over there, I would be very happy to have them back. I would probably be going out to bars and movies and things like that and having parties for them and that kind of thing. But what do you think, folks? You tell me. Do you think it's right for us to be having this massive, massive, massive confetti and computer paper and tanks rolling down Broadway and everything like that? It's massive celebration when so much is still wrong with the situation. We have now something like 200,000 people is what I heard. 200,000 people have died as a result of what we have done. And that's a hell of a lot to live with. You know? Now, it seems to be something more along the lines of we've got to make up for what we did wrong to the people coming back from Vietnam. You know, and that's, in a way, I sort of see the entire war as something along those lines. We did the entire thing so we'd make up for the wrongs of Vietnam. And God, if that was the reason, that was a pretty ill-advised way of showing it. I want to read you something from Jim Dwyer. He used to be the Subway columnist in New York Newsday. He had an article in yesterday's New York Newsday. I'm not sure if this made it out to the island, so could be that people are hearing this for the first time, but it's really quite good, and I hope people listen to it. It's titled, Just Don't Call It a Victory Parade. And again, our phone number is 632-6901. Thanks very much to the moron who picked up the phones and put them on hold. Hopefully that won't happen again. 632-6901. Evelyn Waugh, I believe is how you pronounce that. Hope I'm not showing my ignorance here. Anyway, she once put together a great story called Scoop, which concerned Boot, the gardening correspondent for the Beast newspaper. He was sent by mistake to cover a war in far-off Ishmaelia. Before Boot left for the battle, Lord Copper, who ran the Beast paper, gave Boot some advice. Remember that the Patriots are in the right and are going to win. The Beast stands by them four square, but they must win quickly. The British public has no interest in a war which drags on indecisively. A few sharp victories, some conspicuous acts of personal bravery on the Patriot side, and a colorful entry into the capital. That is the Beast policy for the war. Now, if you look at the list of corporations paying for the war victory parade on Monday, the names New York Newsday, the New York Post, and the New York Times appear a line or two below that of the National Bank of Kuwait. The Daily News is on the same page, too. We do not belong on this list, but people at this institution, honorable folks, have decided to buy us a spot there for $25,000 and believe it is no different from passing out philanthropy for the Queen's Museum, plant a tree in Brooklyn, the Long Island Philharmonic, or a score of other good works. but it is different. This parade was meant to say thanks to men and women asked to do something by the government on behalf of the rest of us, and who did it. When they went, they had good reason to worry about coming back because, like everyone else, they heard fables about the Iraqi military machine. They were owed, and they still are, and begrudgers are the worst class of people. But the Soldiers' Party is being kidnapped so that companies that make red carpet can prove its durability on Broadway and so that grade F celebrities can have their careers revived. The corporations tied themselves to this shindig because 3 months ago, they gambled that people felt what the newspapers and TV stations were selling. Victory, screams a T-shirt and button being offered by New York Newsday. You kind of have to fake that feeling right now. At the moment, it is said that kids by the hundreds are dying of diarrhea every week in southern Iraq. This is what happens, apparently, when B-52 bombers pass over sewage treatment plants. A B-52 drops 51 bombs, basically by opening the bomb bays, and good luck. If you saw laser-guided bombs on television, you saw how 10% of the American raids went. The other 90% were targeted by rough guesses. Maybe it was a goal of the military to bomb the sewage treatment plants, although it's hard to say why. The last hours of the war involved a turkey shoot in which columns of fleeing Iraqi troops were carpet bombed. Some were carrying white flags. Most were in civilian trucks and cars. As Newt Royce and Tim Phelps reported here on March 31st, there were massive casualties in the Iraqi army when it finally tried to do what our government wanted, get the hell out of Kuwait. Everyone saw the pictures of the highway of death from Kuwait City to Basra. But thousands of others on roads inside Iraq were also attacked while running away, Royce and Phelps reported. There were so many targets on the clogged roads, air traffic controllers called back the F-16s, which can only carry two bombs, and decided instead to send up B-52s. "Why you're beating up on rows of hundreds of thousands of people that are fleeing, I don't understand," said Chuck Myers, the former Undersecretary of Defense for Air Warfare. Why was confetti thrown out a window on Wednesday? Practice, the parade organizer said. Practice to perfect the picture that will capture the lighter-than-air confetti joy of victory. Officially, the word victory is not being used to describe this parade. It is not a victory parade, but rather a celebration of peace achieved through international cooperation, says a press release from the publicity company for the parade. Some of the clients of the publicity company, by the way, figure prominently in the festivities this weekend. At least the spirit of official language as practiced by the military briefers has returned. Of the four city papers, none joined a lawsuit brought by a group of magazines and writers against the Pentagon's restrictions, the ones designed not to hide military secrets but unmarketable truths about war. Despite the rules against writing reality, reporters at three of the four papers, and the news was on strike, often sent back excellent, honest work, which makes them patriots because that is the duty of the press as citizens in this country. A publisher who throws in for a parade is hardly deserting all the principles that good newspapers like this one live by. Still, New York Newsday and the others, with no evil agendas, are funding a public relations effort that probably innocently blurs the truth about what happened. The theme of the parade is Operation Desert Storm, the world working together for peace, says the parade committee. I suppose it is a kind of peace in Iraq where there are civil squalls, where the same guy is in charge, where something like 150,000 people were killed. Not because there was no other way, but because accepting his diplomacy would have given too much credit to Gorbachev, and because the president did not want to listen to the general, Colin Powell. Maybe it is a kind of peace in a place where the mothers are screaming over dying dehydrated children long after we stopped watching our magic bombs on TV. But it doesn't make anyone less patriotic to say that victory means horror in a faraway place, to say this war could have been avoided, or to say to the troops, "We don't need to call it victory or peace, just thanks. Glad you're back," the sweetest part of the trip. I think that's an excellent article written by Jim Dwyer, yesterday's New York Newsday. And I can't see how the media can live with itself saying virtually the same things that that the government says and making it seem as if there's absolutely no opposition whatsoever. You know, if you watch TV, go ahead, watch, well, you just missed it, but if you watch Channel 4 News tonight, or if you watch Channel 11 News, or any of the other news stations, or if you listen to the radio, you know, you have the commercial stations out there, you're going to hear about opposition? No, you're not going to hear about any opposition, and you're going to think that there is no opposition. You know, and that is wrong. That is not serving the public. That is not serving the public one bit. That's the first step to something, actually it's about the second or third step to something that's really nasty and horrible. Everybody is expected to think the same way, and anybody who doesn't is a threat, is an evil person. Well, I want to hear what other people have to say, and we're going to take your phone calls at 632-6901. So do give us a call now. A poll was printed in the paper, and do you know what it was? 57% of New Yorkers think that the parade is a good idea. 57%, not 95% like you might have been led to believe. 57, 36% think it's a bad idea. 57 to 36. Break that down a little more. You got males, 56% think it's a good idea, 39% think it's a bad idea. Females, 59% think it's a good idea, 34% think it's a bad idea. And so on and so forth. What's most interesting, though, is residents of Manhattan, 49% think it's a good idea and 45% think it's a bad idea. So, considering it's happening in Manhattan, that's a rather interesting statistic there. 632-6901, please give us a call and let us know what you think. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
First of all, there's some moron in your office. I called about three times, like, they're picking up and stuff.
Yeah?
And I told him, I go, listen to Eric, man. He's telling you, stop picking up the phone. Anyway,
you know, those morons are probably responsible for playing the Star Spangled Banner over us all the time.
I'm really outraged over the parade.
Why are you outraged? Why are you outraged?
Well, there's people getting shot.
Uh-huh.
City. Well, it cost something like $3 million for this parade.
I'm not sure exactly how much it cost, but yeah, the money is something else that I didn't touch upon that is certainly obscene.
It's outrageous.
A city that's going completely crazy with budget cuts to spend this kind of money on something that not everybody even thinks is a good idea. And, yeah, of course, the Tompkins Square incidents, too, to waste all that kind of money there. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. It's, you know, it's crazy. It's criminal, I think.
I also want to know if you'll be partaking in the festivities tomorrow in Huntington.
Will I be partaking? I might drop by just to see what's happening and to show support. I urge everybody else to do the same thing, too, because it's important. You know, I think that takes a real special kind of courage to be able to march down a street of potentially hostile onlookers.
Well, there's a group of us. We'll be wearing brown paper bags over our heads.
Really? Well, I heard about that, but why?
Well, friends and family.
Yeah, I guess that's the reality of the situation. It reminds me of the people when the Shah was being driven out of power in Iran. People would demonstrate here at Stony Brook with paper bags over their heads, and because they were afraid of what would happen to their families if pictures were being taken, and pictures were being taken of them. That was the really scary part.
Well, you know, I also am expecting some. How can I put this? Ignorant fools to show up tomorrow, and of course there's going to be some. Hopefully they won't hit me in the head with beer cans or anything, but you know.
Well, if they do, I'm sure a lot of camcorders will capture it, so don't worry about that. Just, you know, be who you are and don't let anybody else tell you otherwise.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Good luck. 632-6901, and, you know, definitely we'll be telling you what happened next week. But you should go down and check it out and just show support for people that have the guts to stand up for themselves. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing?
Yeah, I just want to say it's great that they're doing parades for the armed forces. It's a lot better than what happened to people that came back from Vietnam.
Yeah, but, you know, I think this whole thing is being, you know, shown as a comparison to Vietnam and what should have happened. I mean, I'm happy everybody is back, and I'm happy that the fighting is over, but there's a lot left that that is now horribly wrong, and that's got to be taken care of. It's not a happy situation at all. We're happy that we're back, but
Come on, look at what's going on over there. Look at the misery that we've left in our wake. And that's, it's kind of like mocking it in a way to just march down and say victory. Plus, what kind of a fight was it really? You know, did they hardly even fought back. You know, I'm all for being happy, but victory just doesn't sound like the right word here. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's more like to say the people came back from Vietnam, you know, they were treated bad. And you're right that, in a way, we're spending a little bit too much money and we're making a big deal out of it.
Uh-huh. Like I said, I don't want to say, you know, be ashamed of these people. I don't think that ever should have happened to the Vietnam vets, and I think that was probably just cowardice on the part of a lot of people. But, this kind of... I mean, to give you an idea, 148 tons of confetti were used during World War II, the World War II victory parade. 148 tons. We're using 6,000 tons tomorrow. on Monday. And... to compare this to World War II, I think, is an affront to anyone who served in World War II, because that was a war, and that was a hell of a war.
Hold on a second. Let me just hear something.
Okay.
Miss, I was on a cordless phone first, all right? You mind getting off? It's just cheap American stuff, eh?
Well,
Japanese or something. I got somebody else coming off down the block.
Are you kidding? Someone else is on your same phone?
I hear some lady talking. I don't know if she can hear me.
Let's see if we can hear her. No, I don't hear her.
I hear her. Get off the line, please, huh?
I don't think she can hear you either. Usually these are one-way conversations, but we can hear you fine, and if you can hear me, we can just carry on as if nothing's wrong.
Just squashing her out.
Okay.
All right. Well, I don't mind. You know what you were talking about before about New York having all these budget cuts and everything like that?
Yeah, you know, it just seems,
Right, you know?
It seems wrong when there's so many homeless on the streets and so much is wrong here. They're talking about the city of Bridgeport is going into bankruptcy. They want to close Robert Moses State Park. They want to, you know, kick all the homeless out of Tompkins Square. Something is definitely wrong, and that's got to be fixed. You know, and I think it's all fine and good to have a parade, but once the parade is over, then what?
Well, like you said, they just make an example out of it. They don't want it to be another Vietnam or nothing where the troops that came back were ignored and nobody wanted them around.
I don't think we're in any danger of doing that here, but I think we are in danger of going a little crazy and getting so caught up in this thing that we won't know when to stop, you know? What's going to happen? I mean, we are so filled with adrenaline now. Any conflict, we're going to think we can kick anyone's ass, and next time it might not be so easy.
Well, I was watching on TV, and hey, fireworks and everything in Washington, that looked like it were going overboard on that.
Uh-huh. I don't know, you know, why couldn't they just have, like, a 4th of July celebration and make it, like, extra patriotic this year if they want, instead of, you know, all of this?
I don't know. People go over, though.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm all for celebrations and happiness and that kind of thing. I don't want to put that down, but it's just, it seems like we're going down the wrong road here and we're forgetting what we left behind. And there's a lot of misery there. I mean, 200,000 people dead, you know, it seems like a lot just to get... You know, get Kuwait back, and Kuwait is now executing people who collaborated, maybe out of no choice, you know? It's just, I don't know, it doesn't seem like we really accomplished anything except to maybe fix our feelings a little bit from Vietnam, and maybe that's the reason why we did this whole thing in the first place.
Well, I didn't catch all of what you said about that guy getting, before I was watching, getting executed in Kuwait.
That came over the Associated Press, that he was sentenced to death because he allegedly collaborated with the Iraqis. However, he was not given the chance to even talk to his lawyer.
Yeah, I know. So, how do you know? They could have threatened to kill his family or something.
Sure. I mean, these kind of things happen. And from what I've been hearing, Kuwaitis are not going to have elections for another 2 years. They're under martial law. It's not exactly democratic, yet we're treating it as if everything is just peachy keen now.
Well, you know, we get most of our oil from them, so...
That's what it is. I mean, does anybody really believe this was not all about oil, mostly?
Well, I don't think it was all about oil. I think the oil in there did have a good percentage of this war. You know?
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for calling.
All right, no problem.
All right. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I wanted to say that first caller.
Yeah?
I think he has a nice ass.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much for that opinion. Good evening.
Hello, Eric.
Yeah.
Concerning the parade on Monday, I've heard no mention at all yet of security measures that are being taken. Do you know anything about that?
No, actually, I don't. I don't know what kind of security is going to be needed with all kinds of tanks and F-14s running up Broadway, but who knows?
seems to me that this is a perfect place for some group to get attention by causing some kind of trouble or even a terrorist act or something like that. That's one thing I've been thinking about.
But, you know, when is the last time you have ever seen a terrorist act take place at a time when it would do them the most good? You know, the only time terrorist acts seem to take place are when nobody's expecting them.
That's true.
During this whole war, I can't think of one terrorist act that took an American life.
Well, so far, I don't think anyone's expecting a terrorist act tomorrow. I've heard no mention of it on the news or anything like that.
Uh-huh. I really think the odds of that happening would be very slim, just because of all the hardware and the literally millions of people that are into this thing. I just don't think it's gonna happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually something is going to happen. I mean, this kind of exuberance, it's fake exuberance for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and it can't just go on forever. You know, eventually we're going to have to come to terms with some of the things that we've done, and we've done quite a bit of bad things here. And that's, something I feel very, bad about, even though I didn't do any of them. But, maybe we all could have done more to stop this before it got to the stage it did. Yeah, Americans didn't die here. A lot of Americans didn't die, but a hell of a lot of Iraqis did. And they were not all Saddam Hussein type of people. You know, they were people like you and me. They really were. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling. 632-6901. Give us a call. We have a couple of open lines. From Newsday, not everyone loves a parade. In fact, New Yorkers who will chant, pray, sing, and protest in peace demonstrations this weekend call the city's parade for Desert Storm veterans obscene. Starting yesterday, they will counteract yellow ribbons with red and black protest signs, and they will plaster streets with peace leaflets instead of confetti, all in a loose-knit campaign to criticize and even stop the parade. If the New York Giants had beaten the Little Sisters of the Poor, I don't think we would have a parade for them, and that's about what happened in the war with Iraq. That according to Cy Meyer, a spokesman for the city chapter of the War Resisters League. The league will begin the protest this afternoon with a city hall rally. I'm sorry, I keep saying this afternoon. This is yesterday's paper, so it was yesterday afternoon. The protest, according to former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, will offer an alternative view to the parade theme of a celebration of peace achieved through international cooperation. And that sounds like something Pravda would say, but I don't know. Every day it seems like we're living more and more in a society where you get one view of the news only. Well, not here, folks. You can tune into Pacifica News, and the day Pacifica News starts saying celebration of peace achieved through international cooperation is the day I go off the deep end. If Mara Margulis can help it, there won't even be a parade. Margulis, National Secretary of Refuse and Resist, said the anti-war group is enlisting protesters to devise creative ways to stop this parade of shame. Police officials yesterday said they have a security plan to counter any effort to interrupt the march or related events. We will not let anything stop this parade, said Chief of Department Robert J. Johnston. Police also reduced their crowd estimate yesterday, saying they expect 750,000 to 1.25 million people to view the parade. Earlier, police said they expected 2 million spectators. I don't know how they know this, but that's what they say. Refuse and Resist members will wear red and black, symbolizing Iraqis who died in the war and U.S. soldiers who refused to fight. And they will protest near the Manhattan parade route. Similarly, the National Coalition to Stop U.S. Intervention in the Middle East plans a demonstration to tell people that this event is a diversion from the real problems facing us at home, said Monica Moorhead, a coalition spokeswoman. Again, high praise to Newsday for actually printing something about opposition. Didn't see anything in the Times. Now, there's a lot going on in New York right now with Tompkins Square and everything. The whole park, and I've been there a couple of times since this whole thing started on Monday, the whole park is surrounded by police, spending God knows how much in police overtime for literally hundreds and hundreds of cops and equipment and things like that to be there 24 hours a day. I don't know how this is going to work on Monday with the parade, but when you add up all the figures and add in the renovation that they want to do to the park, you realize that they're spending millions and millions of dollars here for things that aren't helping anybody at all. I mean, renovating the park is something that was unnecessary, and kicking the homeless people into the streets is something that was cruel, and having a parade in the middle of Broadway is something that is nice, but expensive as all hell, and we have a lot of problems, and they're not getting fixed. So it makes you wonder, you know, what is the priority here? What is really on the minds of people like this? I see a lot of, you know, a lot of people interested in being in the right place at the right time, a lot of politicians specifically. And that's why nobody has the guts to stand up and say this is wrong, even though practically half of the people polled say this is wrong. Practically half. As I said before, if you just watch TV, if you just listen to what is being said on commercial radio and commercial TV, you will think you are alone. And it's kind of similar, I guess, to what the Gay and Lesbian March tomorrow in Huntington is going to be all about, because that's the exact same thing. You know, if you listen to mainstream media and you were of that particular persuasion or whatever, you would think that you were alone, but that's not the case at all. You know, that is not the case. The only way, I guess, you can find the truth is to just listen to as many things as possible, talk to as many people as possible, come to a place like Stony Brook and just sort of hang out and meet people and exchange ideas. And, of course, listen to WUSB in Stony Brook, where ideas is our middle name, I guess. 632-6901, good evening.
Hey, Negro, what's up?
Good evening.
I hate faggots, I really do.
All right, well, those two intelligent people will no doubt have lots of fun together. Let's take a look at a pamphlet that was being passed out by various people in Tompkins Square last night. Are you outraged by the victory-slash-welcome-home parades that are celebrating the Gulf Massacre by the U.S. war machine? Those are a bit heavy-handed, I guess. In New York City on June 10th, no celebration of a massacre, down with the parade of shame. On Monday, June 10th, Norman Schwarzkopf, Colin Powell, and other New World Order criminals are going to lead an obscene victory welcome home parade in New York City. Every flag, every yellow ribbon, every piece of ticker tape is soaked in the blood of our Arab sisters and brothers, children, women, and men, whose lives are no less precious than our own. But they want us to stand by and let them enshrine their cowardly military victory in Iraq with these Nuremberg-type rallies. They want to whip up reactionary sentiment and intimidate resistance so they can get away with more imperialist mass murder of third world people and keep the home front in line as the crisis deepens. As soon as I say the word imperialist, the lines light up like a Christmas tree. I'm just reading a pamphlet that was handed out yesterday. On June 10th, millions of people all over the world will be watching and waiting for people in New York City to go up against this parade with every ounce of strength we have. That's as good. We didn't support your war, we don't celebrate your victory, and we won't salute your new world order. To those who say we should not do everything possible to stop this parade because there are troops in the parade, what should the German people have done when the troops of the Nazi era marched, celebrating the glorious victories of the fatherland and heralding a new European order? Can you really honor the warrior of a hideously unjust war? No, we call on the troops to do an about-face and take a stand with the people of the world. Kick the yellow ribbon syndrome, wear red and black. There is no justification for the Gulf War. This is nothing but a parade of shame on the blood and bones of masses of murdered people. For the sake of all that is at stake, we cannot let them get away with this celebration of a massacre and a new world order. The whole world is watching. Organize or join an affinity group to go up against this parade. Come early and assemble with the red and black at the corner of Ann Street and Broadway, east side, across from Trinity Church, 9 a.m., or rally and march from Tompkins Square Park at 10 a.m. And let's see what else is happening. Tomorrow, June 9th at 2 p.m., Interfaith Memorial Service to honor the victims of the Gulf War, Community Church of New York, 40 East 35th Street at Park Avenue. 3:30 p.m. funeral procession initiated by 9th Street Theater begins at Community Church. 4 p.m. protest the victory, welcome home religious abomination at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, 112th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. 7 p.m. war stories from the peace community, sponsored by the Military Families Support Network, Society for Ethical Culture, 2 West 64th Street. 9 p.m. rally and all-night vigil at entrance to Tompkins Square Park, East 7th Street and Avenue A, initiated by Direct Action. And if you want more information, give a call to 212-642-5228. Well, you don't have to agree with everything said in here to take some kind of action. I mean, I think it's a bit much to compare all this. I hate all the World War II comparisons, okay? I hate comparing New York City cops to Nazi paratroopers. I don't think it's right somehow. But I also don't like comparing Saddam Hussein to Adolf Hitler because I don't think the two are anything alike. Hitler was something incredible that hopefully will never be matched in our lifetimes or anybody else's. But it's a good rallying cry. You know, it's a good way to get people to do something by saying, oh, remember World War II, remember this, remember that, and this could happen again if you don't do anything. Yeah, it could, but, you know, let's not jump the gun on everything. 632-6909. Give us a call. Good evening.
106 WBLR.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say. Frequency of another station. Ooh. Oh, man. Worst thing you could say on the air. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
This is Robert John Rockwell from North Patchogue.
How you doing?
My Uncle John was killed in World War II. I'm my middle name is after him.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a bit ludicrous that we're having such a celebration. And I wanted to know if you were going to play any more music tonight.
Well, I'm not, but in about 6 minutes, there's going to be a whole lot of music because no sound test comes on.
Hey, well, I had a request anyway. It was a Jimmy Cliff song called The Harder They Come.
Oh, that might be a very appropriate song to play tonight.
I think so.
But now let me ask you, your feelings about this, I mean, do you think they're reflected by lots of people that were in World War II?
I think that it might, although that, you know, if you're in the VFW or something and you're, you know, I buy the poppies.
Uh-huh.
I think you feel strongly about your country and whatnot, but I think that it is a little silly to be so strongly adamant about it, maybe.
Well, do you think this is something we're trying so desperately to make up for what happened when the Vietnam troops came home, that we feel that we have to welcome these people home so much with so much more fervor and just celebrate, you know, a victory instead of a defeat?
Maybe. I mean, if I hang my flag upside down, some of my neighbors might be mad.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about voicing any kind of opposition? Do you feel like you have the right to, or are you afraid to?
I hope so. I hope everyone has the right to.
Right, but how do you feel personally about that? Do you feel that you can actually go and say something against the parade and not be in danger of your life or anything like that?
Well, yeah, and maybe it's better just to sit down and think about it, but yes, everyone should have that right. I think so, don't you?
Well, I think we have that right, but I'm saying...
I'm just saying that you should feel good about, you know, welcoming everyone back home and everything, but it shouldn't be such a celebration as such.
Right, because a celebration can be seen as just, you know, not caring at all about the misery that...
And okaying everything that we might think is wrong about the administration and whatnot. You know,
right.
George Bush himself, whatever.
Right. I like what Jim Dwyer said in the paper. Don't call it a victory parade because, you know, the word victory just, it rubs me the wrong way here because, I mean, you talked about World War II and that was the war to end all wars. This war was over in a matter of hours.
Right.
And there really wasn't any fighting on the other side to speak of. So, you know, it's to say victory just, it makes us look like really, you know, big bullies, I think. Even though, you know, we had the, you know, justice on our side, supposedly, it just seems like, I don't know, it just seems like we're too proud of something that was too easy.
I think so.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling, sir.
And if you can find that Jimmy Cliff song.
I'll pass it on to Kid Red, and I'm sure he will do something with it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling. It's going to just about do it for us. I think we're out of time. That. I would like to hear from people who go to the parade and, you know, do whatever they have to do. People that protest, people that go to the parade tomorrow in Huntington. You know, we're living in interesting times, and they're going to get more interesting, I think. They're also going to get kind of dangerous because I see a lot of emotion here that's kind of... Maybe a bit misplaced. And that emotion sort of feeds on fear and hostility, things like that. We need to start working to get rid of that. And we need to start recovering ourselves, because while we may have won the war, I think we may have wounded ourselves at the same time by having a war in the first place, and by reopening some old wounds of nationalistic fervor. You know, we're America, we're better than everybody else. I'm perfectly happy saying we're America and we're, you know, we're okay, and just sort of working on it from there. But time will tell, I suppose. Okay, we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody who called in, and have fun out there, be safe and all that kind of thing. We'll be back next week to find out what happened. Stay tuned for Kibret and No Sound Test, among other neat things. Hey, at least we got the Star Spangled Banner from playing over and over again. Willpower. We'll see you again next week. This is WUSB in Stony Brook. Good night. Field of blossom and